This is the Internet Governance public session on March 10th, 2016, in the Atlas Room from 9 a.m. to 10:15 a.m.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The session will begin in a couple of minutes. I know some of you are very shy at the back here, but could we ask people to move forward? Is it possible to come into the front area? Because when we count the number of people here, you know, we don't get paid if we don't get enough people. So so if you could come in this front area, because there's going to be quite a few questions to the participants. Thank you so much. It's always difficult to hold a session on the last Thursday morning when there's other things happening and people have been at the gala too late and in the bar and celebrating. And I did try and make it rain so people would have an incentive to come inside, but it didn't work. If you want to give it one more minute, and up to you. Why? When you say count, you mean the actual time? I'll ask. Yeah. In the front, you know, the red clock with the
that guy.
That, you know, the red clock in front of the chair.
Yes.
That's a sort of countdown clock, is it? But
it can be a countdown clock.
Can it display the real time?
It can.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Let me get the power supply.
Because she should be. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks so much. No, it's no rush. Yeah.
Well,
I think I'll move over here. Well, no, I'll probably sit at the end of it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, come sit down the front. I'll close the door.
You might say what the session is.
For the what?
This session.
All right. Is what? In case people have. Right, no, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin. This is the cross-community working group on internet governance, public internet governance session. So if you're here for that, that's fantastic. If you're here for something else, that's equally fantastic. And I'll hand over to our chair.
Thank you very much, Nagel. Good morning, everyone. This is Marília Maciel speaking, and we are about to start a public session of the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance. This session has been organized by the members of the Cross-Community Working Group with the invaluable support of ICANN staff, and I would like to particularly thank Nagel Hickson for all the support he has given to the work of the members of this working group. And this session has become very traditional in our ICANN schedule by far. I think this has become a very important moment for us to share information about important developments in the internet governance ecosystem, to assess them, and to discuss how ICANN will be impacted by what is going on outside ICANN in this ecosystem, and maybe inform the organization on how to better navigate these waters. And I think that maybe for ICANN board, ICANN CEO, ICANN staff, it has also become a moment for them to understand what are the concerns of the community when it comes to internet governance. We know that staff and ICANN board, they are called many times to represent ICANN in meetings, in forums that take place elsewhere, and it's very important that they hear the community and the positions of the community so they can voice these positions outside ICANN on internet governance matters. So I believe that this session has become very useful to all of us. So without further ado, I would like to walk you through the agenda that we have today. This session will be divided into two parts. The first one will be devoted to a discussion on the WSIS Plus 10 review process. We will look at the WSIS Plus 10 and discuss the outcomes of the review and what can we expect for the future. For this part of the session, we will count on the participation of Ambassador Benedito Fonseca from the Ministry of External Relations of Brazil, Mr. Peter Major, Special Advisor for IT of the Government of Hungary, and also Chairman of the UN Commission on Science and Technology for Development. And we will count on Mr. Changetai Masango, who works for the IGF Secretariat. The second part of the session today will be dedicated to discuss a topic that has been in the agenda and has concerned many of us, which is fragmentation. So we will discuss the interplay between fragmentation of the internet and openness. There's a very interesting report that has been published about this recently, and we have the luck to have one of the authors of the report, Mr. Bill Drake, to discuss this report with us. We will be joined later by Patrick Falstrom, Chair of ESAC. He's in another meeting, but he will be here with us soon. And we will also count on the presence of Mr. İhsan Durdu, Advisor to the Ministry of Turkey Ministry of Transport and Communications, and GAC representative from the government of Turkey. So this is the topics that we are going to discuss today. But before we enter our first agenda item, there was a GAC high-level meeting that took place a few days ago, and we will hear a brief report about what was discussed in this meeting from Mr. Redouan Husseini, who is head of the United Nations Department and works for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Cooperation of the Kingdom of Morocco. Mr. Redouan?
Yes.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. Bonjour. I would like to thank the co-chair for this opportunity and for the invitation. Much appreciated. I prefer to speak in French. I hope that translation is ready. Donc, merci de m'avoir invité à présenter un petit peu le déroulement de la réunion gouvernementale de haut niveau qui s'est tenue donc le 7 mars, le lundi, à l'ouverture, juste après l'ouverture officielle de la 55e ICANN. Mais avant tout, je voudrais tout d'abord rafraîchir un petit peu les mémoires et parler de la genèse de cette réunion. Donc, un bref rappel pour vous expliquer rapidement d'où viennent ces réunions gouvernementales de haut niveau. La première, comme vous le savez, a été organisée à Toronto en 2012. La deuxième a été organisée à Londres en juin 2014. Et donc, ici à Marrakech, c'était la troisième réunion de cette édition. Le concept en lui-même de ces réunions gouvernementales de haut niveau est le fruit d'une recommandation de l'équipe spéciale chargée de la première révision sur la responsabilité et la transparence de l'ICANN, ce qu'on appelle ATRT. Donc c'est une disposition, une recommandation de ce groupe de travail qui a demandé au conseil d'administration de l'ICANN d'augmenter le niveau d'engagement des gouvernements et de les soutenir. Et donc, il y avait une nécessité d'initier ce processus pour voir comment l'ICANN pourrait interagir avec les hauts responsables et hauts fonctionnaires gouvernementaux pour discuter des questions liées aux politiques publiques. Donc, la réunion de Marrakech fait partie de ce processus et entre dans la mise en œuvre de cette recommandation. La réunion a été présidée par le ministre El Alami, que vous connaissez tous. Il est ministre du Commerce, de l'Industrie, de l'Investissement et de l'Économie numérique du Royaume du Maroc. Troisième point sur le programme. Donc le programme a été lié au contexte de la réunion. Comme ce fut le cas à Londres en juin 2014, la réunion de Londres était venue juste après l'annonce de l'administration américaine d'entamer le processus de transition de l'IANA. Et la réunion de Marrakech se situe, donc, si je peux dire, à la fin de ce processus. Donc elle était, disons, le programme était lié au contexte et reflète un petit peu les derniers développements survenus en ce qui concerne certaines questions stratégiques discutées au sein de l'ICAN et en GAC et au GAC en particulier. Le programme, comme vous avez pu le suivre, a été réparti en 4 sessions. Les 2 premières sessions qui étaient au cœur justement de toutes les discussions cette semaine à Marrakech portaient sur la transition de l'IANA, disons la présentation des résultats des discussions. Et la deuxième session était liée à la question de la responsabilité et de la redevabilité de l'ICAN et le nouveau rôle des gouvernements dans ce nouveau cadre. Les 2 autres sessions également étaient d'importance puisqu'ils ont abordé les politiques publiques par rapport au nouveau nom de domaine générique. Et la dernière question était comment renforcer la capacité des pays en développement pour justement s'impliquer davantage et participer activement au débat de l'ICAN. Donc nous avons pu constater qu'il y avait un nombre important de pays en développement ici à l'ICAN qui prennent part et donc il y avait une session qui était réservée pour essayer de leur expliquer ce que fait l'ICAN pour les gouvernements en développement mais également comment les amener à participer activement dans les débats en cours. Puis après, il y a eu la séance de clôture qui a permis au ministre de présenter un résumé du président sur les débats. Ce ne fut pas un document de négociation, mais c'était plutôt un document qui résumait les grandes lignes des débats, qui a été publié sous la seule responsabilité du président de la réunion. Le ministre El Alami a également informé les membres qu'il soumettra sous peu, dans quelques semaines, son rapport personnel sous sa responsabilité sur les travaux donc, de cette réunion qui sera publique, rendu public sur le site de l'IGAC. Donc juste pour rappeler que la réunion a été publique, elle a été ouverte à toutes les communautés, pas seulement au gouvernement, mais également aux autres communautés, et donc ça a été diffusé de partout dans le monde, et le ministre tenait qu'elle soit de cette forme. Donc, si vous permettez, je voudrais revenir en dernier point sur les appréciations du pays hôte, le Maroc, sur le déroulement de cette journée-là. Par rapport aux objectifs, je crois que la réunion a pu atteindre ses objectifs, puisqu'elle a constitué en effet une occasion pour exposer aux hauts fonctionnaires, à nos ministres, ce qu'est la dynamique d'une réunion au sein du GAC, ce que fait l'ICAN, ce qu'est l'ICAN, et en particulier les délibérations du GAC, comment ça fonctionne, parce qu'on a remarqué que plusieurs gouvernements donc, se posaient la question sur qu'est-ce que c'est que l'ICAN, que fait le GAC, et justement ça nous a permis nous-mêmes, représentants du GAC, de justifier nos déplacements parfois un peu lointains, et 3 fois par an, donc justifier nos déplacements, la raison d'être de nos discussions. Donc voilà, l'objectif numéro 1 sur ce plan-là a été atteint. Deuxièmement, en relation avec cet objectif, je crois que la présence importante, le nombre de participants, peut-être je vous donnerai des chiffres. Donc nous avions eu 185 participants à la réunion gouvernementale de haut niveau, 97 pays, gouvernements et 22 organisations intergouvernementales pour vous dire le nombre important qui a assisté à cette réunion. Nous avions eu 35 ministres, ce qui représente un record par rapport même à la réunion de Londres. Et parmi ce nombre-là, nous avons également eu plus de 4 pays non membres du GAC. Donc ça veut dire que nous sommes entre nos efforts de sensibilisation pour faire participer le maximum de gouvernements à ce processus a donné ses résultats. Moi, je crois que l'objectif recherché était justement de démontrer que l'ICANN était ouverte, qu'elle défendait un modèle inclusif, transparent, ouvert. Aujourd'hui, je crois que vous avez pu voir dans le communiqué de GAC que nous sommes à 162 pays membres du GAC, ce qui représente un petit peu donc un nombre important par rapport à certaines autres organisations, même y compris l'ONU qui est actuellement à 193 membres. Donc pour vous dire, un effort de sensibilisation qui a donné ses fruits sur ce plan-là. Pour la préparation, donc, il y a eu un travail colossal de la part du pays hôte, moi-même avec une petite équipe, mais également le comité national qui a été établi pour préparer l'ICANN en général, mais également la réunion de haut niveau. Nous avons pu envoyer plus de 190 invitations donc à travers le canal diplomatique, les ambassades et les consulats du Royaume du Maroc. Nous avons pu commencer ce travail bien à l'avant, donc 7 ou 8 mois avant la réunion de Marrakech, et je vois que le résultat est là. Le format donc de la réunion a permis d'atteindre l'objectif de faire participer un nombre important de délégations et d'écouter leurs perspectives par rapport aux thématiques des 4 sessions. C'est vrai que nous avions l'objectif d'avoir un débat interactif avec les ministres, mais également avec les responsables de l'ICANN. Mais nous avons eu une partie des déclarations ministérielles qu'on ne pouvait pas prévenir. Donc un ministre se déplaçait ici à Marrakech sans faire sa déclaration. Mais le ministre a été très, très précis, très clair pour dire donc que les déclarations ne doivent guère dépasser 3 minutes, ce qui nous a permis de relever le défi du temps, parce qu'une journée pour parler de 4 sessions, donc c'était un peu un défi très, très important pour la délégation marocaine. Quatrièmement, je voudrais parler, si vous permettez, un petit peu comment nous avons pu élaborer ce programme de travail. Donc, comme je l'ai dit tout à l'heure, le programme était lié au contexte des débats et des discussions au sein de l'ICANN. Nous avions la question de la transition qui était au cœur justement des discussions au sein non seulement du GAC mais également dans d'autres constituencies, et nous avions également cette question de redevabilité. Mais comment j'ai travaillé sur la base d'une approche inclusive à travers une discussion ouverte avec les membres du GAC depuis la réunion de Buenos Aires en juin dernier, mais également lors du Dublin. Et nous avions eu pas mal de conférences, téléconférences, donc plus de 10 avec tous les membres du GAC, des échanges électroniques importants. Et donc nous avons pu développer ce programme sur la base de cette approche ouverte et inclusive. La présence des responsables de l'ICANN a été l'occasion donc pour passer des messages aux responsables de l'ICANN qui ont assisté avec nous tout au long de la journée à cette réunion, je crois, sur la responsabilité, la redevabilité, la transparence et l'indépendance de l'ICANN. Nous avions souligné qu'il y avait une nouveauté, parce qu'on a introduit la possibilité pour les derniers hôtes des dernières réunions pour faire une déclaration à l'ouverture de la réunion. Nous avions eu la ministre canadienne qui a abrité la première réunion, mais également le ministre britannique, M. Ed Vaizi, qui ont fait un discours pour essayer de présenter quel était le chemin parcouru, quels sont les problèmes, quelles sont les perspectives et les opportunités offertes par cette réunion. Donc je crois que j'ai dépassé le temps qui m'était imparti. Je m'arrête là. S'il y a des questions, brièvement, je suis là pour les répondre. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much, Mr. Redouane, for this very comprehensive review of what happened in the meeting. And I think that the high-level meeting has become a very important moment for outreach and to raise awareness between other governments of the important role that ICANN has in the internet governance ecosystem. Having said that, let's pass to the first part of the session here, which will be dedicated to the WISIS review process. As we all know, the World Summit on the Information Society and the first phase happened in 2003-2005. Documents that have become references to the internet governance discussions have been approved then, mainly the Tunis agenda. And these documents, they have foreseen that a review should be conducted 10 years after the first phase. Many different international organizations and WISIS action line facilitators have become involved in this effort. Very interesting documents have been produced with regards to this review, and we would like to hear, I think, first of all, from Mr. Fonseca, his assessment of the outcomes of the review process and his views for the future. What are the next challenges? Thank you, Benedito.
Thank you. Je voudrais tout d'abord remercier le représentant du gouvernement du Maroc pour son rapport. Et aussi, d'une manière générale, pour l'accueil qui nous a été offert au cours de cette réunion et pour les excellents préparatifs et organisations qui nous ont permis d'accomplir nos tâches ici à ICANN 55. Merci, félicitations. Dear colleagues and friends, we think WISIS Plus 10 was an extraordinary meeting. I had the privilege and honor to participate in many of the preparatory phases for WISIS, particularly the UNESCO meeting back in 2013, the ITU process that converged to the high-level event in 2014, and all those processes and other processes as well involved extensive, broad consultations to stakeholders extending beyond government representatives. We should also recall there were inputs addressed directly to the New York process. IGF was also a very important actor in providing inputs, and I also had the opportunity to participate in our national or domestic preparations, which were also very extensive. So I think this is the first thing I'd like to highlight about WISIS Plus 10, because it was the convergence of many important processes that developed inputs for that. So it's not only what happened in New York, but also a sum up of very important developments that took place even starting 2 years before and even before that. The second point I'd like to highlight is that WISIS Plus 10 was an attempt to conciliate different cultures. When we say that, by saying that UNESCO, ITU, IGF, the national and regional bodies provided inputs, we are, of course, referring to different configurations, different cultures that were involved in an attempt, in the end, to make sense of all this. For those who participated in the original WISIS back in 2003-2005, maybe this was already there, but certainly in the 10-year review with a lot more of complexity and many more actors than I'm confident that in regard to what took place 10 years ago. This is the second point. The third point is that the final result in our assessment was good. I think when we consider that just a few weeks before WISIS Plus 10, the New York December meeting, there was some doubts within the community and also within government whether it would be possible to achieve a final consensus outcome. There were some concerns that maybe the outcome of the WISIS Plus 10 process would lead to a clash of of expectations. And I think that by having achieved a document that was largely embraced by all of us, governments and the wider community, we succeeded in reverting that, let's say, very negative mood. And even though maybe not all the differences were solved, I think when we work in a diplomatic format, we try to find language to avoid, to explicit some differences. So in spite of the fact that some differences persist, I think we have laid common ground for future work, and we expect very productive work. We have reaffirmed the validity of the WISIS framework coming from the two phases of the WISIS process, and I think in itself it's already an achievement because we are reaffirming that 10 years after all those concepts, that some of those were the result of a very able and extensive, complex world of craftsmanship, those are still provide us with a very good basis for work. I think this was also the result of some initial discussions, and I was present in all those preparatory meetings in New York. And at some point, we found it would be inappropriate to try to redefine, to rephrase the WISIS outcome documents. There were some very important discussions, but also some discussions that in the end showed us that it would lead us nowhere if we try to redefine what is multi-stakeholder, what is cybersecurity, the conditions under which those processes should flow. So we realized that the framework with all the balance, all the notions that that have emanated from the WISIS outcome documents still provide all of us with comfort in regard to how to proceed. So I think this is also very important. And of course, we also updated. We not only reaffirmed, but we updated in regard to some aspects. Particularly, there was a very strong feeling among us that we should link the anything we'll do from now on, starting this year, with the new Sustainable Development Goals that were developed also within the UN, since those provide a very strong, solid base around which the full community will be mobilized, energized. So it's very important to see and to make clear that what we do in regard to internet governance fits into the Sustainable Development Goals and can serve and can be mutual benefit if we do so. We have agreed to extend the IGF, which is also, in our assessment, an excellent outcome, although the Brazilian position all through the negotiations was that we could accept the extension of, not only the extension of IGF, but even to transform IGF into a permanent body. We are convinced that IGF fulfills a unique role, and we would be comfortable in making it a permanent standing body. But the extension for 10 years, we think, was also quite a good development. At the same time, the commitment towards continue to work in regard to further develop the concept of enhanced cooperation was also there. My delegation, we think it's important that we should pursue in both directions simultaneously, in regard to IGF, but also in regard to have better understanding and try to operationalize further the concept of enhanced cooperation. Take into account there are different approaches and views on what enhanced cooperation is and what are the issues involved, but I think we need, as a wider community, more clarity on what we intend in that regard. So I think this brings me to make comments in regard to what is taking place here in ICANN, and I think since that this panel is taking place, it's important to relate what we have been doing there with what is taking place here. We have been saying this, we truly value ICANN as a multi-stakeholder, bottom-up entity. And in that light, it is very clear to us that the outside world looks at ICANN as a multi-stakeholder body by excellence, in which not only we discuss, we exchange views, like in IGF. I do not like to limit IGF to this because we are trying to strengthen IGF and make IGF more, its outcomes more meaningful. I think we have been working in that regard, but there is qualitatively very clear differences between what we do in IGF and what takes place in ICANN. So ICANN is a truly multi-stakeholder entity that produces results, that has decisions, that decisions are made within ICANN, and we think for the outside world it's very important because that impacts what takes place in ICANN, has an impact on how the outside world perceives and values the multi-stakeholder approach. So in our view, it's important that ICANN should evolve, take into full account the framework that was provided by the WISIS, which is, again, a framework that applies to each and every instance of internet governance. Of course, we are convinced there is no one-size-fits-all solution. So in regard to what takes place in ICANN with a focus on management of internet critical resources, we are convinced that the multi-stakeholder bottom-up approach is clearly the preferred and the most suitable way to do it. That might not be the case, for example, in regard to cybercrime, cyber defense, other areas of internet governance that may require different configurations, but we are totally comfortable in working in the ambience of ICANN in that sense with the present configuration. I'm closing now. So I think, and this is the important thing that I'd like to say in that regard. And then I refer to the positions we have been holding in all those processes. We think it's important to ensure that we have, at least from the part of my delegation, that we have consistency between what we say we have said in all those processes, what we say here. So we think it's important. The very central notions that, in our view, emanated from WISIS is that the multi-stakeholder approach or multi-stakeholder model is the preferred and the appropriate way to deal with internet governance of any, independently of the issue, in allowing full participation of all stakeholders. As I have said, there is no one-size-fits-all. It has to be seen according to each issue how this will relate, but it's important to ensure that all stakeholders will have in place the mechanisms and the approaches to allow them to fully exercise their roles and responsibilities. And we truly hope that ICANN will continue to evolve in a direction towards that goal that we think it's totally compatible with the framework that emanated from WISIS. We think this will be totally aligned with the message that emerged from Net Mundial just 2 years ago, that we're honored to host in Brazil, in which the wider community, extending beyond the ICANN community, sent that very strong message toward this process that this should lead to ICANN be evolved to become a truly organization that will be guided and truly guided and crafted by the wider international community. We think what we have been doing here is a first step in that regard. We look forward to continuation working within ICANN and with you also in other foreign processes to make the vision that we have agreed back 10 years ago a reality. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Benedito. Thank you very much. I'm sure that you have questions for Benedito. I do have questions for Benedito, but I think that we should move forward and listen to the next speakers. Benedito portrayed a very good framework of what happened in the WISIS review process, and now we would like to turn to Peter Major to hear more about a particular point maybe that was present in the outcome document, which is the upcoming working group on enhanced cooperation. Peter has an extensive experience with the topic. He was chair of the first working group on enhanced cooperation that produced a very comprehensive mapping of the different organizations that are involved in internet governance and a mapping of the different understandings on the table with regards to enhanced cooperation. So Peter, what do you expect for the next phase? And if you can tell us a few words, I would like the speakers to speak for 5 minutes so we can have time for interaction with the audience. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilia. Tout d'abord, je vais continuer en français pour quelques moments pour remercier le gouvernement du Maroc pour l'organisation de ICANN 55, en particulier le représentant pour organiser la réunion de haut niveau qui a contribué beaucoup au succès d'entendre parmi les membres du GAC pour signer l'accord de CCWG rapport final. Now I'm going to continue in English. Marilia mentioned that the outcome document of the Visits Plus 10 gave the mandate to the CSTD to establish, or if you wish, to re-establish the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. Please don't ask me what is enhanced cooperation. They are real knowledgeable people who know about it. We should content ourselves that this is a kind of diplomatic expression, to me at least, to gave some notion about the ICANN functions and the stewardship of the United States. So we are in a historic moment right now, to my mind, that all chartering organizations have approved to forward the proposal of the CCWG, so to the board and from the board to NTIA, and I think this may change the basic meaning of the terms of reference of the Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. So as has been mentioned, the idea came up in the Tunis agenda already in 2005, asking the Secretary General to start immediately consultations on these issues. Nitin Desai, who some of you might remember, was a legendary figure of the internet governance. He started the consultations in 2006, and I think he had a consultation in 2008. There was a consultation in the UN in 2010 and 12, more or less multi-stakeholder approach. And of course, there were countries who weren't satisfied with the outcomes of these consultations. So it has been decided to create a working group within the Commission on Science and Technology for Development. Probably the idea also was that after a successful working group on the improvements to the IGF, which is also in the CSTD, this commission will be able to contribute to this topic as well. As Marilia said, the working group has been established. It was a multi-stakeholder working group in the sense that we had 20 member states from the CSTD itself, two members of the original WISIS process, that is Switzerland and Tunisia, and we had five representatives from each stakeholder group. Altogether, we were 42. The group itself started working, just compiling a questionnaire about the important aspects of what we thought were relevant to enhanced cooperation, and from the responses we started to sort out the issues. What are the real issues for the enhanced cooperation? And we started what has been already referred to as a mapping exercise, that what are the existing mechanisms where these issues are being dealt with. And of course, as a result of that, we can also identify where the gaps, what are the gaps where we should improve or we should establish something. I believe this was a very useful outcome, and I think it has been used by other fora in the internet governance ecosystem as well. But of course, we didn't have enough time to complete our work, if this work can ever be completed. Anyway, we had five meetings, and as a result of the Wizards Plus 10, the working group is going to be re-established. And if you read carefully the outcome document, it is saying that we shouldn't start from scratch. So we should rely on the existing results. And I have been tasked to establish the working group. So I launched the process itself, and I made it clear that I really want to have the working group a multi-stakeholder working group, including the civil society, including technical and academia, technical community and academia, the business sector and the international organizations as well, in addition to the member states. Basically, I set out the process in the way that we will arrive to have the similar composition of the working group as we had before, which proved to be quite useful. To me, it's always the bottom line to have the trust. This is the basic thing, and I hope to build this trust among the participants of the working group. And as I said, we are not starting from scratch. We are going to rely on existing documents, so I think it's also very important to have new and old members as well. I think institutional memory is very important in this work as well. So the process itself has started. We are going to have the annual meeting of the Commission in May. I will announce the list, I think, probably by the beginning of April, and we shall have the approval of the Commission in the annual meeting, and it will be forwarded to the UN. Well, the UN is a very complicated system, so it has to be forwarded to the so-called Economic and Social Council, which will approve it by the end of July. And as I said, I think by that time it will be a bit clearer where are we with the transition. I think if the transition, and I firmly believe it will happen, then our task will be to concentrate on issues which are not related to the stewardship. So we can concentrate on issues which we have already identified, and I really hope to have a very successful outcome of this working group. We are tasked to come up with a result by the middle of 2018. That is, we have the end of 2016 and 2017 at our disposal. I plan to have about four or five meetings, and as I said, I'm, as always, optimistic about the result. So I'm ready to take questions if you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter, for sharing your experience. I'd like to pass the mic directly to Mr. Changetai Masango. Your highlights, telegraphic messages about the outcome in the IGF and the future for the IGF after the review.
All right, thank you very much, Marilia. Unfortunately, I'm speaking last and I'm right next to the chair, so I have to be very brief. As you all know, and as has been said by Ambassador Francesca and Peter, member states acknowledge the role of the Internet Governance Forum as a multi-stakeholder platform for discussion on the internet governance issues and extended the mandate for another 10 years. this mandate, which is set out in paragraph 72 and 78 of the Tunis Agenda. And I would like just to thank all of you, all the stakeholders, government, civil society, the business community, everybody, because this was a real community effort to have the mandate extended, not just for 5 years, which was what people were expecting, but for 10 years. I'd like to thank you all, and it just shows the importance of the internet governance discussions and the multi-stakeholder model. The member states also said that the forum should continue to show progress on the working modalities and the participation of relevant stakeholders from developing countries, and also mentioned that they supported the recommendations of the CSTD working group on IGF improvements and called for their accelerated implementation. And I'd just like to mention on that part that UNDESA and the IGF are seriously committed towards implementing these measures. And we are doing everything we can. We are encouraging developing country participation. The Secretariat has been strengthened. I've been asked by my team in Geneva to say hello to them. And I'd just like to mention their names. We have Anya Gengo, Eleonora Mizuchi, and Brian Gutterman, who are in Geneva right now, remotely participating and viewing this webcast. Just give them a hand because they've been working very hard. Thank you. And also, the IGF is also committed to incorporating the SDGs into our work, and we look forward to doing so with the next 10 years. Briefly, as you all know, we had the IGF 2015 in Brazil, and I'd like to thank the Brazilian government and the co-chair of the process, Ambassador Francesca, and also Hartmann Glaser and CGI for the incredible work they did. I think those of you who are there know that it was a really the best IGF ever. And the next IGF is going to take place in Mexico, and we have our first open consultations 4 to 6 April next month, and we are still waiting for the MAG, the new MAG, to be announced, and it should be announced, if not this week, hopefully next week. And I think I'll just leave it to questions, otherwise, yeah.
Thank you very much, Angatai. I would like to open the floor for questions, but I have a difficult decision to make here because I think we're very short on time. So what I'm going to do is to pass straight to the next section on fragmentation. We will have all the questions in the end. I would just ask the speakers to be very brief so we have time to take at least some questions in the two blocks. Biedrich, could you please give us an overview of your very interesting report on fragmentation?
Marilia, as I suggested to you on Skype, I think we should skip this section. There's no time. So why not just have the remaining speakers respond to the issues we've been discussing? Because we've got about 20 minutes left, and there's no way you can have a conversation on fragmentation and also have Q&A that covers all these other points.
Olivier?
So if I can just come in, Olivier Crépin speaking. We have 10 minutes extension, so actually we will have plenty of time.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I need to leave, so I cannot stay. So we have run over time, so that's just this, because some people were using more time than they were allocated.
So, as I say, since Patrick can't stay, and I don't think we have time to have any kind of real conversation about it, I suggest we just, the topic can be held to another time.
Well, maybe I would like to fill the room. How do you feel? Should we proceed and continue discussing with this and allocate maybe the discussion on fragmentation, which is a very interesting one? I apologize.
We can talk about it at the next meeting if we want to.
Should we leave it to the next meeting or there are protests? Are we okay? Thank you, Patrick. I apologize for that. Marilyn Cade.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I think we have a lot of new people here, and I am so thrilled to see both the colleagues who have been participating in these issues in these sessions over a long period of time, and all of the new folks. And we, even in this segment, have raised a lot of complex issues and complex topics. So perhaps we should take advantage of the opportunity, schedule the next session for a deep dive on fragmentation, give all of us a chance to read the excellent, by the way, 80-page paper. So let me go back to asking a couple of very pointed questions. But let me first confess that I was a member of the CSTD Working Group on Enhanced Cooperation. And so I want to ask Peter a direct question. And I was also present in the negotiation of the Tunis language, which resulted in the phrasing about enhanced cooperation. At the time, I agree that the issues related and questions related to the IANA agreement and the unique relationship of one government to the that function probably were the main drivers around the development of the focus on an enhanced cooperation, consultation, and focus. However, in the meantime, the internet has grown from fewer than a billion users. We were about a billion users then, to 3.5 billion. And the issues and interest, both of governments widely within various agencies and of companies and of individuals and NGOs because of the importance of the internet and the online world, have evolved. And in my mind, the interest and the definition of work in enhanced cooperation must also evolve. It can no longer stay just about that one question. So, Peter, can you perhaps comment about, you know, trying to frame a little bit for the new folks in particular, and for me as an old folk, how you see the evolution of time impacting the next stage of work on enhanced cooperation?
Thank you, Marilyn. I have to admit that the original idea of enhanced cooperation has been brought up from time to time, quite regularly, claiming that governments should have equal footing in the management, not of day-to-day operation of the internet, but generally the policy issues of the internet on an equal footing. Now, I think what we have achieved here in ICANN is one of the examples of this enhanced cooperation, which assures that it's more than that, because it's not only governments, but all stakeholders seem to be on an equal footing now on these issues. So I think it gives us a big impetus to proceed with our work and to concentrate on other issues such as privacy, human rights, and multilingualism, and so on and so forth, which may be of concern to many of the stakeholders, including governments. And I believe we can be able to concentrate on these issues. And I think most of these issues have been already identified, so we have to recall what we have been doing and eventually complement it and go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. And I see that Mr. Durdu stayed with us, and I thank you for that. So please feel free to jump in anytime if you want to comment on this topic or make a connection with the fragmentation discussion that you are going to present to us. Next in the queue, please.
Hello. Renata Aquino Ribeiro, for the record, NCUC and SCG participant. I would just like to put in the CCWG Internet Governance Radar the work done by OACD, Civil Society Constituency, CISAC, The civil society will be present in the OECD ministerial meeting in June 2016. From the declaration, which will be distributed at this meeting, there are a few objectives CSEC is pursuing, which are closely related to ICANN topics of interest. I also bring the words of OECD CSEC liaison to this session. On internet governance. Internet governance structures should reflect democratic values and be transparent and publicly accountable to users. Global internet policymaking should involve equal participation of all people, countries, and stakeholders. We call upon OECD member states to support the Internet Governance Forum and to promote the multi-stakeholder process of the World Summit on the Information Society. On open standards and net neutrality, standards-making processes should be open and should encourage competition. This promotes innovation and development. We support the procurement policies that promote open standards, open data formats, and free and open software. We further recommend that OECD member countries oppose discrimination by network providers against particular applications, devices.
我就想知道还有其他的那些人所提出的意见已经被认识到了，并且呢，我也想感激所做出这方面工作的努力。好吧，下一个，请那个下一个排着队的人发言，同时呢，也有一些这个远程参与的人。巴基斯坦代表您请。我叫陈奈赤，我是津巴布韦国来的。 那我也是这个NextGen的，那我就是想问一下这个互联网管理的这个事情，因为您讲到了关于这个鼓励发展国家的参与，那我的问题就是，那这个你的这个外展的工作到底是什么呢？就是要求他们进行参加的话，那是只是从这个政府方面参与呢，还是这个公民社会都能参与呢？谢谢。 谢谢您的问题。我们是要求所有的这个利益方都能够被参与，有两种方式，一个就是鼓励那些人能够参与这个 IGF 的会议，进行这个公开的这个意见咨询。如果您到我们的网站上去的话，您在这个款项。 这个资金或者这个路线图这个底下，您可以要求提出要求，可以申请我们的这个款项的资助，您可以来参加会议。同时，我们还有 IGF 的这种会议，我们就是还有这个夏季的夏令营，也需要大家能够参加，然后这样能够进行能力的培养。谢谢。谢谢Changotide。那么我们这个巴基斯坦的远程中心，他们要问问题，您请。 让我们请让我们能够听到声音，我们什么都听不着。也许这麦克风有什么问题吧？那好吧，那我们那个下一个排着队的人，您发言，然后我们再重新回到巴基斯坦那儿。好，谢谢。那我现在要说法语。非常感谢小组的所有的成员。我的问题是。 关于您的提出的这个经验，您觉得这个互联网治理的模式应该是什么呢？我是 NextGen 的成员，而且我参加了不同的会议，所以我想知道您觉得最好的模式到底是什么？尤其是，关于这个项目的它的稳定性，您是不是说就是只是这个当地的这种治理的模式呢，还是我们得遵从这个国际的模式？这是非常有意思的问题。我们哪一位发言人愿意回答这个问题呢？大使先生，您请。谢谢，这个问题其实挺困难的。 就是说，其实没有一个这种，唯一的这种模式，说是来，管理互联网。就是，关于这个互联，这个 ICANN 的这个特定的互联网的治理的模式也许解决不了其他人的问题，但是我觉得有一个就是统一的这个模式呢，这也就是在我们假定的这种基础上，就是在这种WISIS 的会议上已经讲到了，就是说是多利一方的模式，然后呢就是要能够要求让所有的利益方都能够参加过来，行使他们自己的权利和扮演他们的角色。所以呢我觉得这样他们才能够在不同的问题和不同的主题上能够进行调整，所以呢就允许他们全部参加，以及所有的利益方都能够在 ICANN 里面参加进来的话呢，在这个环境之下参加，那么呢在这个里面其实又有特定的不同的这种做法，比如说这个空间网络这个犯罪，那它就有特定的一个方式来解决这个问题，就像这个欧盟的他们这个代表在他们讲到了在不同的国家中之间呢不同的做法来针对这个问题，因为从实质上来讲呢与这个 ICANN 关于这个互联网的这个资源方面的做法呢可能就有所不同，但是呢它还是由这个全部的这个利益方这个的环境所统管，但是并没有一个唯一的或者单一的这种模式来主管它，只不过就是有一个这种统一性的就是在所有的人参加的这个基础之上，然后呢有一个总管的这么一个原则。谢谢。我们再试一下巴基斯坦吧，在那之后我觉得没有别人在排着队了，所以我想关于就是哈德麦利以及其他人所说的话，别人有什么意见要说？哦，您说。巴基斯坦我们听不到声音，但是他们的提的问题就是这个Saeed Mohammed是这 ISOP 巴基斯坦的主席，他提出的问题，很高兴能够看到这个职能管理权的这个移交由所有的这些章程组织都批准了他们的这个提案，那么下一步的这个工作要做呢就是职能管理权的移交，我们想让这个小组成员或者整个这个 ICANN 我们要问的问题就是有没有任何的这种后备计划，就是 NTIA 如果他们审核之后不接受这个提案的话，那还有那么多人已经做了很多这方面的工作，所以呢就是会很失望看到这个事情最终没有成功。谢谢。那我看有人排着队，然后一会儿再听大家别人的意见。您说。我是 Arsène Tounali。我是刚果过来的。那我想用法语来问我的问题。我的问题就是主要是问这个 China Tamasango， 因为他好像挺吃惊的看到这个联合国已经延伸了他们这个 WISIS 的这个字眼以及这个 IGF 的字眼，其实从这个五年已经延续到十年，我想知道为什么要延续到十年。这个 IGF 的秘书处所给我们的担忧，那他怎么能够肯定能够一直这个保持多利一方的模式能够延迟十年呢？谁愿意解答这个问题？谢谢您问问题。首先这个十年其实也是这个选择之一了，五年十年然后我们就说是十年，然后我们就我们是想感谢社群给我们十年，因为没有这个社群的全面的支持，这个事情也没有办法发生，因为这个 IGF 确实是一个很有用的东西，所以我想感谢这个社群的全面的帮助。那我们的担保是什么呢？那我要说的就是说这个多利方的模式要进行十年，其实这也取决于社群啊，这个联合国他们就做出承诺了，那我们就会遵循突尼斯公约还有这个任务宣言里面 如果这个社群继续会积极的参与的话，那我们也就可以来保证我们也可以这样做了。谢谢，谢谢陈哥太。那 Peter， 您愿意做出什么回应吗？啊，您是说 Marilyn 所说的评论是吗？啊，对啊，就是您的那个结束语啊，因为我们这个会议快结束了。那我是想说 Tinkertai 所说的，就是因为这个对于我们所有的人来讲呢，在 IGF 里面，我们都应该一直要做出这种承诺，就是就我们已经做过的这个工作，我们还应该继续接着做，因为这给了我们一个非常好的一个工作的框架，而且这是联合国的这个结果的文件上面也讲到了，这个十年呢确实显示了我们的自信心，而且呢对于这个论坛来讲也是非常有意义的，我坚信如果我们继续下去的话，关于这个 ICANN 的参与在 IGF 的改进过程中，CACD 这个工作组他们在这方面所做的工作来看呢，我想这也是帮助到 ICANN， 也是一个很好的例证，关于多利益方的模式，这方面做得非常的好，所以包括 IGF、ICANN 还有联合国里其他的这些组织呢，我们大家都可以进行聚合，然后在他们的工作的方式中，我想我们就已经在正确的轨道上了。谢谢，谢谢 Peter。大使先生，也许您想再说点什么？最后的结束语，谢谢。那我解答这个观众的问题的时候，我只是说不光是模式，同时呢也有国内的机制。我回忆起来，我们现在已经有过超过20年的经验了。也就是多利益方的这种模式我们一直都在做，而且呢他们是一直在做着这个互联网管理方面的或者是指导小组的这些问题的这些人。那么2年前呢我们也采纳了一个立法叫 Maxview， 这涉及到这个公民的权利，并且呢提供广泛的意见。他们都是这种国内的非常坚实的基础的这个例证。那从我们已经做的例证来看呢，你没有办法只是从这个国内内部来进行修订，因为每一个不同的文化，每一个不同的这个背景，它都有不同的这个个案。但是呢这个内部的机制不见得能够适用于其他的国家。但是呢关于未来的互联网的治理，我们还会有一个其他的这种流程。所以我觉得至关重要的就是我们应该在我们已经取得的成就之上能够再进一步的创建。尽管我们已经有一些这个想法了，但是我们还是应该本着这个尊重他人的基础，然后呢并且呢来遵守我们这个多利益方的模式，然后各个政府呢一定要向其他的各方进行学习，并且呢都来参与，并且呢开放式的来参加，来行使自己的责任和义务。因为至关重要的是我们一定要带着尊重他人的这种基础来寻找实践的方法，这样才能够增强我们的合作，因为这是至关重要的，这允许我们能够认出来到底有什么具体的问题，然后机制是怎么回事，然后应该做些什么样的动作来改进它，如果有任何的这个缺陷的话，我们应该如何来解决它。总的来讲 啊，这样呢就就有一个这种指导性的方针来允许或者促进我们彻底的这种参与，来行使我们的责任和义务。我觉得如果这样做的话，那不光是ICANN，而且在其他的组织上面，就在这种多利益方的传统的这种参与上面呢，这也是非常重要的。那些组织他们也应该意识到，他们有非常强健的这种多利益方非政府的这种模式，因为至关重要的就是我们能够让这种事情在两个方向都能够进行发展，允许我们能够集体的关于在改进方面呢，我们的意见能够被聆听到，并且呢生态系统能够得到改进。谢谢。谢谢大使先生。嘟嘟先生您请讲。我是伊桑嘟嘟。我是土耳其的这个电信部的顾问，自打2005年我就做这个工作了。那我先说几句。就是关于这儿啊，其实已经讲了好几个问题了，但是那既然没有太多时间了，我还是讲几个问题。作为这个土耳其呢，我们确实也相信这个多利益方的模式，而且在互联网管理方面我们也是支持这种模式和流式的流程的。我们还召开了我们在2014年还召开了这个 IGF 伊斯坦布的会议，因为我们坚信这种模式。我们有上千个与会人，我们知道有多困难。我想感谢各位那些土耳其的同事们帮助我们主持这个会议，而且还有这种成功的在巴西召开的会议。也感谢这个 Francis Gang 的这个大使先生所做的努力，让我们能够召开 IGF 的大会。那我再讲点别的事儿吧，因为我们没有办法讲到主题上。那我还是首先感谢我们摩洛哥的同事们让我们能够召开这次ICANN 的高层会议。马拉喀什这么美丽的城市让我们能开成会，这太棒了，而且是这么成功，然后对于我们所有人来讲都是一个美好的经验。那我还是讲一下能力培养分会吧，能力培养的事儿吧。就是如果你没有互联网的管理的这个问题的话，因为对于政府来讲以及政策制定人来讲，这些国家他们都必须要确保他们有这个互联网的基础架构，也许有的时候是被忽视的。有些这种已经发达国家他们就好像不把它看在眼里了已经。因为他们有这种商业上面的这种正当化，或者说是还有其他的一些项目正在进行，这个事情就变得很困难去重视它。我就想确定我们能够有足够的促进活动或者说是支持活动有这种基础框架。也许我可以给大家几个例证，就是关于土耳其的。我们已经尽很大努力。我们这个部呢是这个负责互联网的互联网的政策的这个事情。我们尽很大的努力把我们的资源让它能够被使用到足够的基础框架到基础框架上。那我们有这个4500万人，我们竟然有这个7200万的7200万人的这个人使用互联网，其中有这个4500万的人，他们都是用宽带服务。 而且在土耳其呢，这种数量还是在上升的。我们尽我们最大的努力，让年轻人有这个机会来学习，让他们能够学习这个当地，在当地的内容的基础上，学会怎么用这个互联网。这是我们引以自豪的其中的一个项目。有600,000的这个课堂，他们都是之间能够联系在一起的。那1,600,000的这个电脑，他们都是连接在一起。那每一个课堂的电脑都是连着的，这样教育上面呢，这些内容可以互相这个传播。这也给我们当地的内容的教育内容用这个土耳其语传播出去也创造了机会。我们就是很喜欢这种电子的这种应用。我们有这个250,000的电子服务，政府方面的服务。并且有这个14,000的这个政府机构，也提供了这个互联网方面的服务。所以呢，这是我们的很多的项目，为了能够确定大家都有很好的访问渠道，满足他们的需要。使得这个发展中国家的这个政府呢，我们这个政府有足够的理由让我们能够使用到互联网。如果世界上都发生了数字化的革命的话，然后您自己什么动作都不做的话，那你也就是冒着你的国家远离世界的数字革命的危险。谢谢，非常感谢嘟嘟先生。我们现在实在是也没什么时间了，那我把这个麦克风让您来做个结束语。非常感谢。其实也不是结束语了，只是就一个这个评议，关于这个能力培养方面的事儿。关于这个能力培养这个事情呢，非常重要，就是如何让大家能够碰在一起，所有的选区、所有的政府、互联网的用户、公民社会等等这些人能够聚在一起，让大家聚在一起非常重要。可是如何来确保他们这种积极的参与在这种论坛上，就是就这个 ICANN 的这种模式之下，这也是非常重要的。你让这个各个州的国家，这个亚洲、非洲，然后所有这些州的人、国家的人参与，这也是非常重要的。同时我也愿意来强调一下这个财政方面的支持的重要性。因为那些欠发达国区或者说是那个发展中国家，他们在财政方面的资助呢，这个 ICANN 做的是非常不错，因为它让这个非洲和亚洲国家都能够参与，比如说过来马拉喀什来参会，非常感谢。
谢谢大家参会。很抱歉，我们今天的这个议程有变化，但是我愿意以后再讨论这个建议。那么，希望在下次会议中，我们能够对这个问题进行深入的讨论。那在此感谢我们的演讲人，感谢我们的社群，感谢参与人。那我相信我们已经对这个问题有了一个初步的了解。刚刚你还谈到了有 这个 IGF 的继续的工作。那我们也非常希望有更多的社群参与这样一个讨论。那让我们下次会议再见吧，再次继续深入讨论。谢谢大家参会，再见。